Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
So if you want to make 6 figures, you can't just be talking about you want to make 6 figures. You won't be successful until you say, I don't need that money. It's not the most talented. It's not the quickest. It's not the fastest. It's not the strongest. No. That's not the person who makes all their dreams become a reality. Sometimes, guys, it's less talent and it's more effort. Are you hearing me? Sometimes it's less talent and more effort. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. You got to be willing to work off for 3 hours of sleep, 2 hours. If you really want to be successful, some days you're going to have to stay up 3 days in a row. Because if you go to sleep, you might miss the opportunity to be successful. That's how bad you got to want it. When 50 Cent was doing his movie, I did a little, 50 said that when he wasn't doing the movie, he was doing the soundtrack. And they said, when do you sleep, 50? Sleep, he said, sleep. Sleep is for those people who are broke. I don't sleep. He said, I got an opportunity to make a dream become a reality. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. And I'm here to tell you today, somebody came to my office the other day crying. I said, look, don't cry to give up, cry to keep going. Don't cry to quit. You already in pain, you already hurt, get a reward from it. Don't go to sleep until you succeed. I dare you to take a little pain. I dare you. I dare you not to go home. Somebody said, I don't go home, I feel bad. Go through it. You ain't gonna die. At the end of pain is success. You're not going to die because you're feeling a little pain. So don't worry about a little pain. Listen to me. You haven't tapped into your own potential. You haven't tapped into your own greatness. You keep looking for it out there. If I would just buy this, if I would just wear this, if this person would appreciate me, if this person would value me. Listen to me very closely, baby. The sooner you get in that mirror, the sooner you get in that mirror, the sooner you tap into your greatness, is the sooner all your dreams are going to become a reality. Are you listening to me? There's some folks out there, man, you went to Breed University. Look, I'm tripping that nobody invested in silver. Nobody. Nobody invested in silver. Blowing my mind. Nothing wrong with silver. But that first 24 hours, that first 48 hours, nobody. We got more diamonds than anything. What is that telling me? It's like, yo, E.T., I'm ready to invest in me, E.T. Unbelievable gold, platinum. Folks was like, E.T., I'm willing to make the investment in me. And so I'm telling you, standing out there, hey, it's about a commitment. Go to Weight Watchers, stop playing.
Still today, man, it's tough for me to buy blue jeans if they're not on sale. And I'm like, this is stupid, man. Like, why? Yeah. I'm just gonna wait,
right?
You know, so you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. But it's really stupid that I even worry about it,
right?
And I'm not saying on the come up, I think you should worry about it.
Right.
But there needs to be where you can turn that switch off. Well, I think number one is there's a bigger problem with hoarding in this country than there is with spenders. What we hear is all the spenders. Oh my God, you know, he did this and he's overspending. But really, really, you have more of a hoarding issue than you have a spender issue. I think people err more on saving and not knowing how to use money. So what the advice I would give people is, like, I would just assume that everything you know about money is incorrect, so that you can actually have a clean board to, mm-hmm. to operate from. Because if you go out right now and try to stack new information, financial mm-hmm. literacy on top of, you know, a toxic foundation, mm-hmm. it's all going to get all. That's why when I tell people don't go buy a house, everybody freaks out. They're like, that can't be right. Why? Because that's what you've been told, to buy a house your whole life, because the banks want you to buy a house. Now, everybody just heard that's going to say, I just saw you buy a house in Malibu. I can do anything I want now. Here comes the arrogance. Yeah. But I'm in a position now, like, if I want to buy that house in Malibu, I can. But on the come up, buying a house is not what you should do. You should, one, I would scrape off that you don't know anything. Two, I would invest everything you can in you. It's tax deductible. You never lose it. The person's personal appreciation will always be bigger than any other asset class.
I love that.
Bitcoin can't match it. Real estate can't match it. My personal asset appreciation will always, it is infinite. You know, who knows? I could be the next male Oprah, or somebody watching could be the next Rock or whatever, right? Wow. Like that. What is that appreciation value? It's straight up. So the first thing people should invest money in, even mm-hmm. use debt on, is their personal improvement. Number one, invest in yourself. Number two, I would invest in your business. Whatever your business is, or your department, your division is. The first 30 years of my career, I didn't own a company, but I did invest in my department. Even though I worked for a company, mm-hmm. I had a secretary. I didn't have the company pay for my secretary.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menard. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Terry, I paid for that. I wanted her to work for me. And so, invest in yourself, you know, like yeah. invest in yourself, then invest in your business or your department, your skill set. If it's your company, then invest in your company, even down to zero. Like I wouldn't keep money around. I wouldn't save for a rainy day. I wouldn't have an emergency account, because you don't need it. You need hustle. You need other people's money. You need to go knock on another door, make another contact. You don't need reserves of money. So what you need is cash flow. So you, by making investments, that's the third. And other things that don't require my skill set. So that would be the third piece of advice, is start investing in real assets that cash flow can appreciate. Three, that are provide tax shelters. And if you look at those three criteria, Bitcoin doesn't cover it. Stocks probably don't cover it. Gambling doesn't. That one, gold doesn't, silver doesn't, real estate.
NFTs don't,
because they don't cash flow. But the most important thing is that people need to, like, you gotta know that if you live in America and you're having a money problem, it is not because you're stupid. And it's not because you're lazy. It's because you have the wrong information. If you got $1,000, I would, like, just keep, you know, keep investing in yourself until you got another 1,000. And then invest in yourself, you know, now you got 2,000 invested in. You go, you should start making money faster. At some point you should start, like, every time you make an investment in yourself, if I put fuel in my car, it's supposed to take me further. So what do you do with $1,000, right? You know, I think you just got to keep investing in you until, like, now I'm making $3,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, boom, reinvest all that again. But what we do is we start taking it off the table. I think people just need to get on that cycle of, like, okay, I'm going to keep repeating this activity. I'm going to reinvest some money in myself, go to the workshop or whatever. Mm-hmm. Monday, I got to be hustling again. Until, okay, now I got $4,000. Okay, now I got $5,000. Now the income's starting to pick up. Income has to pick up. the income should be an indication that whatever you're learning is helping you.
That's interesting.
I started studying, hey, what do all these successful people have in common? You know, whether it was the mattress dealer, the car dealer, the furniture dealer, or Elon Musk, they spend money, man. You know, they spend money. They spend a lot of money. And they don't worry about money the way I was worried about it. They used money, you know. They used it. They didn't save it. They didn't hoard money. Mm-hmm. And the greatest companies on this planet today, the ones that have just like, some of these companies have lost money for 25 years. Look at Amazon.
Yeah.
Reinvest. So when I quit studying individuals and started studying people, everything shifted for me. When I quit trying to be the, you know, when I quit worrying about what Bob was doing or Pete or whoever, and started saying, hey man, what is this big company doing? Mm-hmm. Because that also relieved me of being competitive with this guy, Pete, and started saying, okay, I'm gonna go do what Coca-Cola does.
Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm a high school dropout. I did not get this when I got my PhD. God didn't go, he finally got his PhD, give him the voice. He finally got it. He's ready now. He got his GED, give him the voice. God gave me the voice when I was a clown, when I was acting a fool. You got your gift from birth, and the reason why you're struggling is because God gave you something and you're doing the opposite of what he gave you.
I don't think you get the same returns by overwhelmingly working on your weaknesses as you do on tripling down on your strengths. I don't know what else to say. Like, it's so clear to me. I think so much of what I talk about is predicated on not only my successes, but watching my family members, watching that whole ecosystem of startup founders, just watching. I watch a lot. I read a lot of like people's behavior more so than, you know, books or things of that nature. And so, yeah, I mean, I believe that the entrepreneurs that have gone on to quadruple down on their strengths and then hire around their weaknesses have had much better success than the ones that dwell on their shortcomings because somebody they look up to was good at it and said it was important, and they waste their time on something they'll never be. I like micro failure. I hate macro failure. Like, death of your business is bad. But to me, you know what's funny? I'll use a boxing analogy. My favorite boxing, I watch a lot of boxing. I think boxing is a very interesting, and I know, and I'm super into mixed martial arts, but I grew up on boxing, I understand it better. And I like watching it because there's so many things that happen in boxing. First of all, what I love about boxing is there's nowhere to hide. You know, like, it's super interesting, right? There's nowhere to hide. Number two, there's a scenario in boxing that I love the most. There's, for some reason, there's nothing more interesting to me than watching somebody get knocked down in the first round and then go on to win the fight easily. It's an interesting psyche, right? And I like that, and this is what I'm thinking about it, which is like, here's what's bad in boxing and in business. Going into a fight, getting knocked the fuck out in the first round and losing the match, bad. Getting knocked down and then having the adversity to readjust to what you got caught on and navigating it to easily win a fight is remarkable. That's how I think about entrepreneurship. The reason so many people struggle with entrepreneurship is you have micro failures almost daily, and they're very in your face. You can't hide. And I like that. I like failure because I think I deserve it. I hate when people don't respect the game. When I fail, it means I f***ed up. And I like that because I think people get audacious. My number one thing that I hate about capitalism is that people use it and they love it and they're big capitalists and they love open market and competition and all that, and then they become 73 and they try to use all their money to protect their money. They're not willing to let a young lion eat them the way they ate somebody else. I hate when they try to manipulate it. That's what I love about sports. What I love about sports is when you're 36 and you were once the best player in the league, but now you're getting a little bit older and your body breaks down, you are forced to retire. The one thing that entrepreneurship and capitalism has to adjust to is once you get old and you're tired and you want to be on a yacht instead of working your shit, you should lose some money because you're losing.
So identity is you asking the questions until eventually you get to a point that you get to the deeper part of who do you want to be? What life do you want to live? And why do you want to live this life? Why is it important to you? Why is it what you're putting through all these hours? Why would you want to do that? That transition, when you go through it, and then the pressure part, when you said, here's who I'm going to be, where you declare your intentions to the world. This is what I'm going to be doing. A lot of times we keep things a secret. And so there's a debate. Some say you should never declare your intentions to the world because that pressure could create anxiety. You should never do it. You know, like Babe Ruth pointed a finger and I'm going to hit a home run. What if you don't hit it? What if you fail? You know, what if you say, Michael Jordan says, the Bulls never winning, losing game 7. You should never say that because it's too much pressure on the players. Or then the other side said, well, you should put the pressure on yourself because your teammates play better because it's not on them, it's on you. And the leader does that. To me, I think declaring intention serves a purpose. I think when you go out there and you say, this is what I'm going to be doing, this is where I'm going to be at, you officially have the world holding you accountable. That pressure could be good pressure to put into your life.
Why I like losing. The game told me I lost. Respect to the game. That's why I like playing. I did this when, my friends, I was an entrepreneur when there was no conversation around this. In the 80s and 90s school system and society that I grew up in, I was a failure for making $2,000 a weekend selling baseball cards. Like, I did this when it wasn't cool. I'll do it now while it's cool, and I'll do it again in 15 years when it's not cool again because the economy will collapse and because we don't like to be accountable, we like blaming things, and so we're gonna blame entrepreneurship, not the fact that you weren't self-aware and didn't realize that you weren't a fucking entrepreneur.
I need you to tap into your inner grind hard. I need you to tap into your inner go get it. I need you to tap into your never quit. I need you to tap into your resiliency. I need you to tap into the mindset of getting the job done no matter what. You gotta pay the price to live a next level life. It's time for you to get off your hind parts and make it happen. Don't you realize there's millions of lives you can be impacting? But you're only touching a fraction. And that's on a low level. You don't have a story. You're not leaving a legacy. Because you struggle with adversity. You struggle with the setbacks. Don't you get it? The resilient mindset knows that 1,000 no's may come, but it keeps grinding. Tap into your inner grind hard like you want to live. So many people resort to not giving their best. And then they wonder why they have less than the next man or the next woman who made the choice to sacrifice and refuse the advice of those that wanted them to go hang out at the party, those that invited them to the game because they weren't where they wanted to be and they had a mission and their vision told them if they put in the work now, the day will come where they could go to any party they wanted to. Matter of fact, they could build a club at their house. They could build a club at their mansion. Get it done now! Or die irrelevant. Or die broke. If you're not strong enough to say no, when you know you got work to do, and your friends or family approach you to do something that you really have absolutely no time to do, but you do it anyway, that's a setback. And it's gonna take you longer to reach your desired destination. See, the mindset of success shuts down the negative vibes and proceeds to grind to win. By only aligning with positive tribes. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. It's not gonna happen overnight. Success can be a bitter pill to swallow. Success will push you to your limits. It takes time. It's not easy. Life often gets in the way. But no excuses. I need you to still get it done. The late, great Jackie Robinson said, this ain't fun, but you watch me. I will get it done.
And that's a thought process. That's the mindset you have to subscribe to. If you're trying to achieve any type of success, the greats will tell you about some rough patches. The greats will tell you about some tough days. The greats will tell you about some adversity. The greats will tell you about some setbacks. The greats will tell you about some failures. But the greats will also tell you this. They kept going. They kept going. They kept going. They refused to lose. They refused to quit. They refused to give up. And they lived by the motto, I will win. I will get it done. No excuses. The late, great Muhammad Ali said, you don't lose if you get knocked down. You lose if you stay down. There will be days that you don't achieve your desired outcome. And that's what separates the winners from the losers. See, losers give up. Winners give all. The late, great Jim Rohn said, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way.
Entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. It is not. Because you're always pushing the envelope, right? And the purpose of an entrepreneur is to solve problems. So every day something happens and you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. And you got to deal with it. And I also say entrepreneurship is the fast track to personal development. Because every day, right, you're facing something right here. It's like, oh man. And you can't back down from it. You gotta deal with it. They say like 50% of businesses fail. And I think what happens for a lot of first-time business owners, they're coming out of a job. So they're coming out of an employee mindset. And I know this one guy, for example, in Phoenix, Arizona, and he decided he was gonna start his own business. And he had been an employee all his life. So what's the first thing he does? He goes and rents a nice office space. Then he buys all the nice furniture. Then he gets a secretary. He hasn't made not $1. And he spends all this because he thinks that's what an entrepreneur looks like. Versus go make the money first, then go rent your office. If you even need an office, start out of your home. We all started, all the entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs I know, all started out of their home. But a lot of people I see, they quit their job, they start their part-time business, and because they're struggling for money, they make bad decisions because they're just trying to find how to put money in their pocket to keep their business alive. So I think if you are an employee, that's a smart way to go, what you just said, to start a part-time business, start learning what it takes. The reality, you got to get the reality of what it takes. And I came across a study, and it was a study of centenarians, people that had lived over 100, and they wanted to find what were the common denominators, and they found three. And one was they had a sense of purpose. It didn't matter how big or small, but they had a sense of purpose. Number two, they were optimistic. And number three was resiliency, how well you come back from a setback. When you hit that wall, do you fall down? Do you get up? Do you go through it? And I'm like, those seem like the three characteristics of a good entrepreneur to me. Yeah. Sense of purpose, optimistic, and resilient. If you're not resilient and you can't persevere, do not become an entrepreneur. They're so afraid to venture out on their own and not have the security of that paycheck. You know, a lot of times we say if you have a full-time job, keep your full-time job, start a part-time business and work it and work it and work it. Look at what you do in your spare time. And people go, I have no spare time. Well, yes you do. If you broke it out, How much are you watching TV? How much are you on your iPhone, playing video games, doing things that really are not important? And take that time and channel it into the business that you want to create. When Robert and I had our first date back in 1984, he asked me, in Hawaii.
Okay.
He said, what do you want to do with your life? I had been fired twice from the same job out of college, twice.
From the same job?
Yep. They fired me and they hired me back and they fired me again. And I knew I wanted my own business. So on our first date, he said, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, I want my own business, but I don't know anything about entrepreneurship. I've never been around entrepreneurs. And Robert said, well, I've started several businesses and all of my friends are entrepreneurs. I'm like, great, perfect. So 2 months later, I started my first business. But the funniest thought I had coming from an employee was, oh, now my time is my time. I'll do it whenever I want. and I'll have all this free time and it's gonna be on my schedule. Wrong. No, you work 24/7. I had no free time. And I'm like, okay, so that was a myth I had, but that was my mindset as an employee, that where you work 9 to 5, oh, now I can get up and I can start at 11. And you know, if I wanna work at night, I can work at night. No, you're working, especially when you're starting a business, it's 24/7. So I think in the school system, they don't want us to learn about money because they just wanna pump out good employees that do what they're told. I mean, if you look at school, it's opposite of what it takes to be successful in real life. Don't make a mistake. Do as you're told. Take tests by yourself. Don't cooperate. Do it by yourself. Do it on your own. And the last thing was, there's only one right answer. No, there's tons of answers to a problem. So you come out of school scared to death of making a mistake. You do everything on your own. You don't cooperate. There's no synergy. There's no brainstorming. And there's only one right answer. Everybody wants to get the right answer. There's no one right answer. So I think people come out of school paralyzed. I think the school system is criminal in that it kills a child's spirit of learning. You know, a child goes into school all excited about, yeah, I'm gonna learn and it's gonna be great. And then the teacher says, sit down and shut up. Don't talk, we don't care what you're interested in. Did anybody in school ever ask you, did a teacher ever ask you, Brian, what are you interested in? I never did. So they just teach you what they want to teach you instead of finding out what the child is interested in and teaching to that. So I think kids come out of school scared to death of making a mistake. They come out paralyzed. They don't know what they want to do because their spirit and their creativity has been crushed inside of them. So you almost have to do a whole reprogramming once you get out of school so you can find out what it is that excites you.
Do something you're very passionate about and don't try to chase what is kind of the hot passion of the day.
Seen in that light, it really was a difficult choice, but ultimately I decided I had to give it a shot. I didn't think I'd regret trying and failing, and I suspected I would always be haunted by a decision to not try at all. After much consideration, I took the less safe path to follow my passion, and I'm proud of that choice. As a young boy, I had been a garage inventor. I'd invented an automatic gate closer out of cement-filled tires, a solar cooker that didn't work very well out of an umbrella and aluminum foil, baking pan alarms to entrap my siblings. I'd always wanted to be an inventor, and she wanted me to follow my passion. There's a military phrase that I especially love, and it says, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And I have seen that in every endeavor I've ever been in. That's the kind of thing that really allows you to make progress. You know, you get certain gifts in life and you want to take advantage of those, I guess my advice on adversity and success would be to be proud not of your gifts, but of your hard work and your choices. So, you know, you may be, the kinds of gifts you get in life, you know, you might be really good at math. It might be really easy for you. That's a kind of gift. But practicing that math and taking it to the next step, that could be very challenging and hard. And take a lot of sweat. That's a choice. You can't really be proud of your gifts because they were given to you. You can be grateful for them and thankful for them. But your choices, you choose to work hard. You choose to do hard things. Those are choices that you can be proud of. You can choose. We all get to choose our life stories, and it's the choices that define us, not our gifts. Everybody in this room has many gifts. I have many gifts. You can never be proud of your gifts because they're gifts. They were given to you. You might be, you know, tall, or you might be really good at math, or you might be extremely beautiful or handsome, or, you know, there are many gifts. And you can only be proud, really, of your choices, because those are the things that you are acting on.
And one of the most important choices that each of us has, and you know this just as well as I do, is you can choose a life of ease and comfort, or you can choose a life of service and adventure. And when you're 80, which one of those things do you think you're going to be more proud of? You're going to be more proud of having chosen a life of service and adventure.
There's never been a better time to be alive. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of inspiration that the world generates for me, and I think for a lot of people. It's just, it's insane the amount of change and invention and opportunity. Your life, the life you author from scratch on your own, begins. How will you use your gifts? What choices will you make? Will inertia be your guide, or will you follow your passions? Will you follow dogma, or will you be original? Will you choose a life of ease, or a life of service and adventure? Will you wilt under criticism, or will you follow your convictions? Will you bluff it out when you're wrong, or will you apologize? Will you guard your heart against rejection, or will you act when you fall in love? Will you play it safe, or will you be a little bit swashbuckling? When it's tough, will you give up, or will you be relentless? Will you be a cynic, or will you be a builder?
It is only, and this is very clear, if you're sitting in the crowd and you're not doing this work, it's only two things, and they're both interesting. One is audacity. You're audacious that what you did in 1993 or 2001 or 2007 is enough for you to dominate 2022. Or you've lost your ambition, which is okay. I don't think of that as a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing that you're not as hungry. Maybe you've scratched your itch. Maybe you do want to do other parts in your life. But look, don't lie to yourself. And understand yourself on where you are in your journey.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.